Would you turn now in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. Tom Donnelly and a few other brothers met at 5 o'clock this afternoon at the, we used to be the Pizza Hut, we call it Discipleship Hall over here, and listened to a message from Dr. Stevens, and I slipped in there and listened to it, and so much appreciated what he was saying. And remember the days when in my heart I was drawn to what God was saying. And I know that is the case for us here, and also the new people that come in. In the 11 o'clock service, I mentioned something. I'll get to that a little bit later. Hearing Pastor and realizing that this ministry is God-given and very similar to ministries through the ages where men of God had in their core the reality of God and His love. And that is what you have through the new birth. We explained it this morning that a person could be something like this. He is the core, and then he has the exterior. And we said that the primary nature of the core of a person, their soul and their makeup, is really fear. And we get that from what happened to Adam in the fall. Fear. But on the exterior, we may be happy, contented, polite, social, skillful in putting up these, they aren't always barriers, but impressions that I am okay, how are you? We learn how to behave and interact with people. But if you go a bit further into my heart, you find I fear death. I fear rejection. I fear trouble. I fear loneliness, abandonment. I fear being alone. I fear going hungry. I remember meeting a woman in a certain country in Eastern Europe, and her husband was a professor, and he took me downstairs, and the cellar was just filled with food. And he said, "You know why the cellar is filled with food?" I said, "No." He said, "In World War II, my wife was a little girl, and she went hungry. And she lives in the fear of going hungry. So we fill our house with food." We understand that man is complex. Man is deep. Man wants to be loved. Man needs help. But he's not always willing to talk about it. So we live on the surface of things, and we do not deal with our fears or our loneliness or our detachment. But in the church, and this is a great thing that has happened with you and me, and it is that through our new birth, we have a different core. We moved from a fear to a deeper, an amazing, satisfying nature, love, God in us, Christ in us. God loves me. It's not even a process now. It just is reality. He fills you with the Spirit. You are born again. You have the exteriors. You know, we have those. That's important, but then we have who we really are deep down in our hearts. And love casts out fear. We read in John 4. We also said this morning that it's very easy when you have a group of people that are relating to each other, that we only relate on the exterior things. We know we all love a particular club or football team, or we go to the same school or have similar hobbies or likes or dislikes or whatever it may mean, may be. And we know about that. And we may be looking for a deeper connection with people. Like, I know we've been together for a long time, but what are you really thinking? I have known you for a long time, but what is really going on in your heart and in your life? Who are you really? And this is amazing that we can talk about it, because when the new birth happens and we have love, and the love in us connects with the love in a brother or a sister, then the exterior things are not primary, but instead Christ is between us, like Jonathan and David. David looked for that with Saul. David wanted a connection with King Saul, but Saul couldn't reciprocate. He was too wrapped up with his own life, with his loves and selfishness and his power and influence and his insecurity. And we know it, maybe a working place, you have been working with people, and you find that, well, on the outside, they could be very good people, but actually they are unstable in some cases, and they're also afraid. They're good people, but they're also insecure people. And so we want to speak about that tonight with a particular thing in mind. This is what is in my mind. Pastor Chevelli shared it with me the other day, and also Pastor Sam Miles, who has a lot of church growth going on in his church in Kansas City. And it is this, that God uses you, that you are the messenger and the counselor, that you are able to minister and touch people, that you are able to edify them, listen to them, listen to God, relate to people, and help them. That you are able to minister to them because you have received a ministry. Because you received a ministry, you don't have to be an ordained pastor to care about people. You just have received a ministry because Christ dwells in you. The two young ladies here, the twins that sang, it was beautiful, and they're in the Bible College, and they're a blessing to us. And we can recognize, you know, in the fellowship, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which happened when we first came here. And I saw a YouTube little piece of history on Oswald Chambers. Phil Winslow sent me one piece, and then I saw that and appreciated that. Then I saw an accompanying one there. And I saw where 9 years he was in Scotland in this little coastal town called Dunnan. And he lived there in a Bible college with 30 students. And he was in the Bible College, and he was like very troubled at many times in his life. I think he was like a sensitive person, Oswald Chambers. But the pastor, his name was McGregor, and the pastor was was in the Word and had relevant messages. And I understood and just putting it together and having read his biography a little bit, understood that he was just hungry. He was hungry. Like, not for the surface connection, but he was hungry for Christ. He was looking for Christ. He was hungry. And after 9 years, he left to go into the world to preach the gospel. And basically alone, I understood it that way. He just went, and it was a 1898 to 1907. He left in 1907, and he died 10 years later in Egypt, as maybe you know. But he wrote, "My utmost for his highest." And many of us love the depth of his words and his counsel to discouraged Christians. And many of us, like, we understand that he found those things in the kind of life that you are living. You are living a busy life, but also a life dedicated and open and available to God and his instruction. He is able, God is able to deeply encourage us and minister to us. We read it here in Hebrews chapter 10. And at the 11, we use this text, and I want to use it again tonight. And it starts from verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, subject tonight is encouragement, and for God to take away our fear. Did I lose? Okay. He would take away our fear. And we're going to use this text here. And this is the principle by a diagram. Love. And then a believer. And he has fear. These people are all around us. Yeah, me too. All of us have these fears. But then, by our new birth, we have love. And in the Spirit, we walk in love. And with love, we're able to edify in the deepest way. To be honest, much of life is just on the surface, you know, social interaction, hello, what's your name, how are you doing, what's going on, and so on. And we understand that's what I called in previous teaching shallow cup communication. I don't mean my name is Pastor Schaller, but to be honest, some people call me Pastor Shallow. Yeah, that hurts very much. Okay, so shallow cup, meaning I need a big, long, big, deep drink of spiritual water. But life is made up of baseball and football and the weather and all kinds of things, and we know this, and that's healthy and important. But I get tired of it, as you do. I got to hear something. I want something to go right to my spirit. So therefore, we have this Hebrews 10, and it says 19. Therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This is where we meet God, by the blood of Jesus, in the holiest. That means the holy of holies in the temple. There it is. We go in. We go in by a new and living way. That's the escalator. It's moving staircase that goes up. The new and living way. God carries us in a new and living way. The way of love, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. The veil has been rent. We have entered into the Holy of Holies. There is no veil there anymore for the believer. We are face to face with God, and God is able to speak to you right where you're living and say to you, I am here. It happened when Jesus came amongst the disciples And they had fear, but he would say, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now notice this diagram, this one here. If you speak in love and truth to a person that has fear, it can be that they, when it goes to them on the surface of things, they conform. You tell them the truth, they simply conform. They do what you say, but the fear stays. It could be that you love people and you want them to do the right thing, but they're not transformed. They move out of fear. They live out of fear. There are people that will obey the Bible, but they do it out of fear, not out of love. When a ministry happens, it can be that people conform, but there's no real change deep in their heart and in their life. They may rebel. That's another thing that happens. They rebel and they get angry about it. If you were to really speak to them directly. And it happened with the disciples. When Jesus spoke to them that he could see, he would say, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He also saw them wanting to leave because they were not able to understand him and what he was saying. And it can happen to any one of us. I would go, but no, I hear the truth, but I make a decision in my heart that God is love, that God loves me. He tells me the truth out of love. I will not rebel against the truth. I'll receive the truth. That's amazing. If one of the pastors was to come up to me and talk to me in a loving way and tell me the truth, I might rebel. But it would be much better for me to be broken and listen, watch. The truth, I hear it and I believe in God changes the inside from fear to love. He changes us. From fear to love. We are edified now. Yes, any one of us could run away or go on our way and turn and not like it. Remember Lot's wife, what a story. Like she got the truth. The angel said she was to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, but it was in her heart. And when the fire came, the fire and brimstone, and she turned around and she was judged. You see, change has to be a deep thing in our lives. And when we talk to people as counselors, we are actually looking for God to give us the words, the approach, the ministry. Not just to be a nice person, but to lead them in edification, lead them in a life-changing experience, keep them in the holy faith, a transformation to happen. Isn't that amazing? I mean, why go to a church if there's no transformation? I mean, I would go to whatever church I could, wherever there are believers. I don't mean that, but I'm trying to say something. That when Jesus came into the world, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to be where he is. And I want the men, myself, and anybody worldwide, anywhere, to be capable, by God's grace, to tell the truth in love and to see people's lives changed. For you never know when there's an Oswald Chambers sitting in the audience who's wrestling with life and wants to find Christ. And this is where it happens. He gets a piece of bread, so to speak. Okay, look at Hebrews 10, In verse 21, we have a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. There it is. Let us draw near with a true heart. I'll say it this way. Oh, got all these circles here. This is good. Let's say it this way. I got the true heart. This is love. And you know what? There's freedom with that love. And you know what? You're not afraid of anything. Boy, that's amazing. You're afraid of death? Well, to be honest, Christ overcame death. Are you afraid of failure? Well, to be honest, grace is better, bigger than, greater than, yeah, my sin abounds, grace abounds more. Well, are you afraid of being alone? Well, he said, I will never leave me or forsake me. Well, you're just being, you know, you're not realistic. What could be more realistic than walking on water? You can swim, but I'll walk on water. Which one is more, which one has the best application for life? Walking on water. Yeah, but that's not scientific. I know that. I agree with you. But my life isn't limited by my experience. I want to live by every word that comes out of his mouth. And I want to, and God said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel answered in a great way. What did he say? Oh God, thou knowest. There it is. Okay. So, we are boldly in the presence of God, the Spirit of God in us, and we have love. And now we're at work. We're just at work. And the Spirit is filling us at work. And I'm just a human being like everybody else. But I got something going on in my life. I got something that is feeding me, edifying me, and rejoicing. My boss has a hard day. He doesn't like me. My boss has a hard month, years. He doesn't like me. Well, I might lose my job. Well, it's okay. There's other jobs. I have love in my heart. I'm not afraid. I'm free. I pray for my boss. Maybe God sent me here to work for a period of time and he's going to fire me. But while he's firing me, I can pray for him. Actually, I can love him because I kind of got the idea that the guy's got real issues. He's got real problems. And God sent me here. And this is what I'm trying to say tonight. The way a church grows is by you and I living in our freedom and in our love and having words. Remember Isaiah 50, verse 4. He gives me a word in season to him that is weary. Jesus is saying the world is filled with people that have fears. Look at our past, our country now. And what is happening? It's a spiritual problem that there is fear in the hearts of people. It's the fall of man. It's no different from any other time in history, in essence, that people have been brought to these places where they could seek him. They can actually find him. And that God has given us the means to love and have a word in season to him that needs love and truth. Yes, there may be a reaction, like I said. They could rebel against my words, or they could be conforming to them, or the love spoken with the truth may actually transform them, change them. They actually could get help. They actually could say in their heart, wow, I am interested in what you have to say. Then you say, let's meet at the coffee shop. I'll open the Bible. Let's go there once a week. I'll open the Bible and bring somebody with you. Bring your wife or your friend. I'll meet you there. on Saturday at noon or 1 or in the evening or on a Friday night, let's open up the Bible and I can share something with you. And God is on the move. God is on the move. God is changing people by his word. People get help from us. Jesus said, fear not. How many fear nots? Remember 366 in the Bible, Richard Wurmbrand said, one for every day, including leap year. Fear not, little flock, fear not. Fear is a big thing in the hearts of people. But look at the verse again, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Hear him. Pay attention to him. Draw near to him. Be with him. Come to the classes. Draw near. It's Christmas season. Draw near to God. God has anointed us for this reason. God sends us, he uses us. Look at verse 22. Our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. No more guilt. No, our bodies washed with pure water. The animal offered, washed the entrails. I read the lamb was offered in Egypt. Remember the little lamb they offered up, the blood on the doorpost, and then it said, and you're to roast it with the pertinence of thereof. Remember reading that? Roast the lamb with the pertinence thereof. And that means it isn't dressed out. The lungs, the lamb, all the entrails are all inside as they roast the animal. Imagine, it means they didn't take any time to prepare it. It was just roasted, and then anything left over was burned in the fire. And the point is that the believer eats the Lamb of God, and all of him clean. He's all clean inside and outside. And we eat that Lamb. And this is where our life and our strength comes from. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. I've had some anxiety and over nothing. I mean, there's nothing to be anxious or worried or afraid of, really. But it comes to us. Then I recognize it before God. I bring it. I go, Lord, that's worry. That's anxiety. I bring that to you. And then I bring other things to God that haven't happened, or things that we all could worry or be afraid of. Bring it before God. And let love rule and reign in our hearts and in our minds. And not wavering, without wavering, our faith. And when you go to Bible college with all your heart, without wavering. And when you get ordained, be an ordained pastor with all your heart, without wavering. And when you're a body member, attend the service and be part of what is happening and look for what God is doing. Because blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. And do it with all your heart. And when you study this book, study the book and learn it with all your heart. And stir up yourself and be strong in the Lord. And don't waffle or waver or back off or be indifferent. It's a lot more fun to be passionate and persuaded and have no wavering, but be fully persuaded and convinced, because love is like that. Love is not indifferent or passive or maybe or blasé or mundane, but love is persuaded. Paul was persuaded. The believer is persuaded. Then verse 24, let us consider one another. Five names. Can you give me five names of people right now, easily, that you could consider them? I'm sure you could. But you have somebody in your heart that God, one person that He puts in your heart, and another one in 10, and maybe more, and consider them and just think about them and love them in your heart and pray for them out of love. Because long before I meet them, I've already thought about them. And when I see them, there is the love that we have with the brethren that is in our hearts. When a missionary goes out in the field, in a way, I don't think he ever leaves. Because if God sent him there, that's his place. Like, that's my home. I have a few homes. That's one of them. And my heart is there. I don't leave. Our life doesn't shrink. Our life is enlarged. O ye Corinthians, our heart is enlarged. Our mouth is opened unto you as teachers, as pastors, as leaders. Our life is enlarged. Like Maryland is our home, but so also is other things, other places that we can think about. A little town in Delaware, a little town in New Jersey where God is. And God leads us to some place and say, I am here. That's in Fells Point or some down the Inner Harbor, Federal Hill, or wherever it is that God puts me, or Havity Grace, or Silver Spring with Pastor Shibley. Verse 24, let us consider one another. Will you consider the people at your working place, at the college or the university? Could you consider the people that you meet on the elevator or in your neighborhood? Consider one another. Consider the people that are here in the room, and consider the people that are hurting and people that are blessed in many ways, the blessed people that are amongst us, the blessed people of God that are following God passionately. Consider them. Wow, it's fun when you see somebody on fire for God. Life is easy. They are passionate. They are loving. Life is simple. They have a lot of joy. There are many like that here amongst us. The church is filled with people that we could easily consider them and say, wow, they edify me. They build me up because I can see God in their inner man moving them and leading them in faith beyond themselves. Lead me to the rock higher than myself. The people that may suffer by the loss of a loved one, people that might struggle because they foreclosed on another house, or they lost another business, or maybe, and it's all confidential, and maybe they don't talk about it, but you cannot smell the smoke on them. Not a hair is singed. There's something in their trial. And I'm not saying everybody is to be that way. If I'm hurting, I like to come to the church to be loved and encouraged. This is our home, and there's no standard. But I am saying we consider one another to provoke, verse 24, unto love and to good works. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Come on, let's go. Provoking unto good works. We can do it. It is possible. We can do it. It's okay. How about this one? There's a technique. You just sit at the table with a brother or a sister, and you just, in your heart, you are loving them. You're not saying, I came here to minister to you. Hey, I don't mean that. Or, I am the answer. Or why aren't you like me? Or something like that. No, this is something beautiful. This is something we cannot package it. This is not an external thing. This is out of our belly will flow the river of the Holy Spirit. This is something that's hard to understand. It could be a Bible verse. It could be a song, a smile, a word of encouragement, a tap on the shoulder, a silent prayer said in the corner. I don't know what it is, but it says we consider one another. And I want to see more of it happening in life. I want to see the disciples making disciples. I want to see that the new people, they really get a good home here, and I see that it's happening. They come Sunday morning after Sunday morning, and they're like immigrants here from African countries, some of them, and other parts of the world. And I can see the Spirit moving and their appreciation and their walk of faith in a new country, which must be a tough thing sometimes. But we consider them and provoke them unto love. Come on, you can go. Come on there, little buddy. Let's go. Come on, get up. Let's get moving. Let's go. You're okay. You're going to make it. God is with us. Love. And the inner man goes to Jonathan in the inner man. And Jonathan says, David, whatever you do, I'm with you. David, I'm your guy. But aren't you supposed to be the next king, Jonathan? Yeah, but I'm supposed to be, forget about all that stuff. I'm with you. I know God is with you. I'm on your side. I am with you. I can be less and you can be great. It doesn't matter. Remember, let me finish up. Listen to this story. This is true. It's in the gospel. Jesus said at the Last Supper, one of you will betray me. Then they start talking. Who is it? And then the next verse said, and then they started talking about and arguing who is the greatest. I reread that last night. I go, wow. One of you will betray me. So they start, who is it and everything. And then it shifts to, actually, I'm the greatest. Yeah. It goes from one of you will betray me to like, they're talking about which one is the greatest. Okay. I just think we can get things messed up. I just think we can get them upside down. I think we can misunderstand what is really happening. And I'm so happy by God's grace that He can provoke us to love and humility and good works. And then it says in 25, not forsaking the assembly. And we covered that this morning so well. It came out so good. We don't forsake the assembly because this is where we have that real kind of edification. The people of the world, they go, how could you sit there and how would you enjoy it? It must be torture to sit there in the church for an hour. Oh, you are so dedicated people. But they don't know this is for our edification, our way of life. It is for our thinking, our decision making. It is for our very future. It may result in Oswald Chambers getting on a steamer and going into all the world, writing my utmost for his highest and having an impact. Even George W. Bush reading that devotional in the White House. Little did he know that it would be that young man, as a young man in Scotland, seeking God and getting some depth in his spirit and some understanding in his mind, and would be able to write those words of wisdom that would carry many believers into deep trials and troubles. That little do we know the work of God, but consider the work of God. It is happening because we are assembling together in 25. We're not forsaking the assembly. I read, this is, Okay, I'm finishing soon. Okay, I'm always saying. Okay, I read Teddy Roosevelt wrote in a Saturday Evening Post, I believe, I Googled it once, I'm looking for it, I found it and I lost it. I think it was 18 reasons. This is something like 1910 or something. 18 reasons why men in the United States are to go to church. It's fascinating. And one of the things he said, you can stay home and eat donuts and read the newspaper And you'll never benefit what you would benefit from if you went to church. Eat the donuts later, but go to church and have the fellowship of the brethren. It'll add to your nature. It'll add to, now he didn't say these things, I'm saying it. It'll add to my understanding. It'll help educate me regarding what the issues are. It'll help me raise my kids. It'll help me face some big troubles that I'm going to have in my future. It'll prepare me for it'll build us up to prepare and edify and provoke other believers in good works and in love. It's powerful, but some don't have the habit, verse 25, as the manner of some is. They don't have it as a habit, a way of life. They don't do it. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They cool off. They back off. They hang out. They chill. With all these, you know, they chill. They hang out. They just eat the donuts or look at their iPhone all day long or whatever it is. But a face-to-face, like mature, responsible encounter with somebody that might say something that'll disturb me and ruffle my feathers, but it may provoke me unto love, and I might grow up and get beyond my little babyhood stage of life and become who God wants me to be. And of course, we all would love to see that happen with us, with ourselves and each other. Verse 25, the manner of some is but exhorting one another. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I exhort you. Can you handle it? I exhort you. Okay. But exhorting one another. But exhorting one another. What is the meaning of that word? It's a word for edification. It's a word for encouragement. I need the pastor to exhort me. I mean, we are so kind here, it's unbelievable. I'm sick and tired of it. I mean, it is so warm and toasty, warm and milk toast type of, oh no, it can't happen. No, pastor, get angry. Get fighting mad. Come on, give it to us. We can take it. Come on, we need it. Okay. So pray for me. That it will get enough. We'll get what we need. And we need exhortation. We need that kind of, we need the instruction, the preaching. Oh, that message is coming. I can feel it now. You're praying for me. You're doing it. Here we go. Okay. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day. You know, the day. You know. Not Eddie's birthday, not that day. The day. The big one. The powerful one. The big day. The day of Christ's coming. And much more as you see the day of the tribulation. The Antichrist. The Antichrist is on the earth today, maybe. Who knows? But his day is coming. You have power in the world. Power. You see the day coming? I can see it. Can you see it? All the things that are happening worldwide. As you see the day approaching, you say to your wife, we got to get to church. Why? Because I saw the news this morning. The day is coming faster than a locomotive. Let's go. We got to get to the church. The day is coming. What do you mean? Yeah, because our neighbor is the Antichrist. Our neighbor is the Antichrist. We got to go to church. You know, that's what we see the day of. All the more exhortation and correction and edification. Pastor, help me, teach me about godliness. Teach me so that my godliness goes right down all the way into my toes. Teach me that I can turn off the TV when it is garbage. Teach me that I cut off a relationship with somebody who's drawing me away in the wrong direction. Teach me to love my Bible. Teach me to pray without ceasing. Teach me to love my neighbor. Teach me to reach out to people that are afraid and hurting. And may I sit with them with calmness and rest, perched a little bit forward, squarely in their eyes, looking at them and listening in a relaxed way and saying, Lord, could I have a word for this person in season? Because they are hurting. They burst out into tears and they are broken and hurting people. And you just are able to sit with them, bring them to the church, bring them to your house, sit with coffee and lead them. This is what we must do. Not just the pastors up here on the stage. We must do this. We have an outreach here. We care about people. And it's not a mechanical thing. It's a beautiful thing of God's grace. The ladies, you have a little sewing circle maybe. I don't really know the language of the day. A sewing circle, I don't even know if you know what that means anymore. You're over 50, I know you know what it is. But you have a sewing, or you bake cookies, or you get ladies together in your neighborhood, and you bring them in, and you care about each other, and talk, and you're faithful, and a good person, and sharing love with them, and you have an outreach, and bring them into the church, and see God do a deep and beautiful work in their hearts. Love, touching love, that's edification. And when you get it, you recognize it, you know what it is. I'm so happy. Tonight I'll go home with all my donuts that are waiting there, the fresh hand dipped in the hole. And they're all there waiting for me on my counter. But I'm at church first. I'm at church. And then I can go eat my donuts all by myself. I'll take them up into my room and sit in the corner and eat six of them straight away. Okay. So here's what we want to say tonight. Our church is on the move. God is with you. God is in you. We got a mission. We're on the move. God needs us. We're doing it. We are able because there is love in your heart. Okay. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Here's a salvation call we give every time. It's for whoever will believe in Jesus. Your new birth happens now by believing in Him. Believe in Him, please. Say to Jesus, I believe in you. On the internet, I believe in you, Jesus. I trust in you. Then the new birth happens. It really does. You are born again. Then grow in Him. Walk by faith in Him. He's your friend. He will hear you and answer you. He saves you. And then you open up the Bible and the New Testament, and He'll speak to your heart. And that'll happen. That's what He promised. I stand at the door, knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and dine with you. That means spiritually, you will eat together at a communion table and have fellowship, eating the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God, say to Jesus, I believe. Raise your hand, anyone at all in the auditorium saying yes to Jesus. Anyone? Anyone? Father, we pray for our church in these days of growth. These days of love, days of passion, give us the words of wisdom, the understanding needed to minister to the unsaved, to minister to the believer, and lead them on further. Some believers, we just let them be and make their decisions. Maybe they know enough, but we are there for everyone with wisdom and love to reach out and draw them into a deeper life with you and to be really touched by you, Lord. Touch us always in Jesus' name. Amen.